Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
A peanut butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort, coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Bonta Hill does a phenomenal job at 95.7 The Game as their morning drive host. Also does a bunch of coverage for the Golden State Warriors as well. And he's kind enough to join us right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Bonta, appreciate the time as always. I would ask you how you're doing, but I'm sure you're still in mourning after your San Francisco 49ers and Kyle Shanahan blew another big game.
Oh, my, Zach. Way to intro that one. Not only that, the Warriors blew a 15-point lead last night, too. Gave up 44 points in the fourth quarter. So I'm not well right now. This has been a rough week for your boy and every single Bay Area sports fan.
Yeah, I'll get to the Niners in just a second. But since you brought up the Golden State Warriors last night, that's kind of karma to Draymond Green. Like, you just get back from the suspension, and then you're picking a fight with Nurkic and Kevin Durant. It's like, just shut up already. Like, just play basketball, please.
Yeah, you know, Draymond's going to talk. That's what he does. We kind of love him for that. But sometimes less is more, especially after what's transpired this season, in which, you know, look, there's a blessing to disguise, right? He got suspended. We saw the ascension of Jonathan Kuminga because we know Steve Kerr wasn't going to play Jonathan Kuminga if Draymond never gets suspended. So at least we know we have a player there in JK. But you're right. Phoenix happens. He's playing good basketball. All the other stuff just overshadows how well you're playing and how well the team is playing. And then again, he's on the court yesterday for a 30-second violation or 30 seconds in the key. Nobody calls it because he's on the ground holding his head or whatnot. So, yeah, it's a lot going on out here in the Bay Area. Draymond Green, we just want to – you know, he's on the edge right now. We know it's just a matter of time maybe before something else happens. You hope that it doesn't. You hope that he learned his lesson. But, you know, the Nurkic and KD stuff is just like, oh, man, do we have to?
I know that the report came out the other day that the Warriors, I guess, were trying to get LeBron at the deadline or whatever was going on. That was never going to happen via trade, but LeBron could opt out at the end of this year. What is the percentage of chance, in your opinion, that LeBron ever teams up with Steph and is playing for Golden State?
I think anything is possible in this league. I mean, I didn't think Kevin Durant would ever be a Golden State Warrior. That happened, and they became the Avengers, and they dominated the league. I didn't think that James Harden could get traded from Houston to Brooklyn or Houston to Brooklyn to Philly and back to L.A. as a Clipper. Anything is possible in this league. And if he is a free agent, we know LeBron is very strategic in his moves here. He sees what's going on with the Golden State Warriors. He's always said, you know, especially over the last 2 years, I would love to play with Stephen Curry. So where there's smoke, there is fire. That report didn't come out of nowhere. We know Clutch Sports can control the narrative as well as anybody out there. So I think there's – I don't want to put a percentage number on it, Zach, but I think it is possible. And the Warriors always love stars. One thing I know about Joe Lacob, great owner, right? He does what he does with the luxury tax and with the salaries. He has no problem playing four stars at one time. Joe Lacob is enamored with stars. Peter Guber, the co-owner of the Golden State Warriors, has always said, this is entertainment. We're in an entertainment business as well as a sports business. And how entertaining, even at the age of 40, will LeBron James be with playing with Stephen Curry, alongside Stephen Curry, I should say. So there is a chance if he does opt out, Zach.
So here's my problem with the Warriors, and it's the biggest reason why Bob Myers walked away. He didn't have the guts to say goodbye to people that he won championships with, and it seems like the Warriors, like what they did with Draymond, they reward people what they did in the past, what they won't do potentially for the present. Like, what's going to happen with the future of Klay Thompson? Because we know Klay is an absolute legend, but I can't go give him a big-time deal this offseason.
Yeah, I don't think max money, I don't think that's going to happen. I do think Klay will assess the situation and look around. Look, I was talking to somebody from the Clippers yesterday in their front office before the game, And they said, what's the deal with Klay Thompson? I said, look, man, he's having career lows, shooting from three, from the field. His minutes are getting reduced. He's just not the same player. And you hate it because he was at the height of his powers in 2019 and to miss 941 days and go through all that rehab. 941 days of missing basketball. I mean, that's tough for a guy who lives in the gym. With that said, other teams still value his shooting. This league values shooting. You still watch the games, and teams are saying, you know what, we're not going to allow him to get any airspace. We're still going to guard him like he's prime Klay Thompson. There will be a contender if the Warriors don't give him a deal or give him a short-term 2 to 3 year deal, maybe $20 to $25 million because he is Klay Thompson per year. I do believe there will be a contender who would be willing to pony up that type of money because of the threat of his shot. Look, 37% for a lot of players in this league, they will raise their hands and take that. That's the truth. There, how many 33% shooters do we see in this league? 29%. Like, everybody was going crazy over Pascal Siakam. He's shooting 29% from three. In a league that values shooting at an all-time high. So if the Warriors don't give him a short-term deal, which I think they will, and I think Klay would want to stay, there will be a contender in this league that says, we'll take Klay Thompson and a threat of his shot-making ability, especially from the perimeter.
Bonta Hill here with us. This is not an in-the-moment take when we get back to the 49ers. I actually defended Shanahan for taking the ball first, but the last few years, and I want to be careful when I use this word, I've called him overrated. Now, that's not me saying he sucks, he's awful, he's terrible. Yeah. I acknowledge he's a top-five coach in football, but people talk about him as if he invented the sport and he keeps on blowing these big games. What has been your view of Shanahan and not only losing another Super Bowl, but then all the other things that he's embarrassed himself with in the last 48, 72 hours?
Wow. Boy, I've had a love-hate relationship with Kyle Shanahan. There's people think out here in the Bay Area that think I'm not a Shanahan fan and that I hate him as head coach. Listen, I just assess the situation how the fans do. There's a lot of fans out here in the Bay Area saying, well, he's the next Bill Walsh, man. He's the next Bill Walsh and all this stuff. And I'm like, whoa. We're talking about Bill Walsh, the inventor of the West Coast offense, where teams are still running a segment of or a variation of that offense. Let's chill on that. Let him just be George Seifert. How about being Steve Mariucci or, I don't know, Jim Harbaugh? Listen, man, Shanahan is good at his job. He's a good play designer. He does know how to manipulate defenses. And look, I give him a pass for 28-3 in Atlanta because Dan Quinn's a head coach. He's a defensive guy. Your defense allowed the Patriots to score 25 points, so we could disagree on that one. But in all the big games that the 49ers have lost, the same things have eluded have come to fruition. Super Bowl 54, clock management, right? The trust of a quarterback. If you don't like Jimmy Garoppolo, Zach, tell me why, with a minute 49 left in the fourth quarter, three timeouts, the ball at midfield, and Patrick Mahomes on the other sideline, why would you throw four straight passes?
Yeah.
Why would you even risk Mahomes getting the ball back? So even if Garoppolo hits Emmanuel Sanders with that deep shot, there's still a minute 30 left and Mahomes has the ball. Like, I don't like that situation. 2021, 10-point lead, NFC Championship, LA Rams. You run a fullback dive on third down. You have Trent Williams motion across the formation with a hobbled ankle. He couldn't even walk that game. But then you punt it. You don't get aggressive. The Rams, they throw one up. The Jukowski Tardy drops it. Next thing you know, 45 yards with Beckham, Jimmy Ward, unnecessary roughness. Decision-making, clock management, same situation. You get a little timid at times. And then, of course, the Super Bowl. I mean, where do I start? We talked about the real time with Shanahan not calling a timeout on second down with Rashee Rice. It's a minute nine left. You know in the Super Bowl there's a 30-minute halftime. You just scored in real time at about 4:47 p.m. The Niners didn't touch the ball again until about 5:47 p.m. So when you do get the ball back with 23 seconds left and you have two timeouts, you're not going to throw a couple shots down the field to try to get a field goal to go up two scores. And then when you do get an interception from Patrick Mahomes and you set up shop at the Kansas City 44-yard line, you throw eight passes as opposed to one run on your first three possessions. So we already saw it in real time in the third quarter. Go, here we go again. He's doing it again. He's getting tight. He's getting away from his bread and butter. And so in big game situations, he reminds me a lot of Kyle Schottenheimer. Forget Andy Reid in Philadelphia. This is Kyle Schottenheimer all over again. He just gets tight in his own way, and he calls a conservative game. And you know, Brian Balder, he joins us every week during the football season. He's done it the last 4 years. He said last week, it's going to come down to Spags and Shanahan. That's the matchup everybody needs to watch. And you know what? Spags was in his hip pocket once again for the second straight Super Bowl between these two teams. So I don't think he's overrated, but there is a conversation out here that I like to have, and people think I'm just a Shanahan hater. Who would you rather have, McVay or Shanahan? I've seen McVay thrive in these situations. See, there you go. And the fact that he's throwing everybody else under the bus and there's all these excuses, I don't know if it's going to happen for Shanahan in San Francisco. It feels like he may win a Super Bowl elsewhere.
And here's the other thing. Like, I could so easily agree with everything you just said, Bonta Hill, where 28-3, he's got to run the football more. That controversial play where Chris Jones batted the ball down at the line of scrimmage in the first Super Bowl, there was a thought you should have ran the ball there. In this Super Bowl, should have ran the ball. But here's the crazy part. The guys are actually open when they throw the ball, and this offensive line crumbled. Like, to see what the nose tackle for the Chiefs did, and he just threw Trent Williams on his ass in the third quarter. Yeah. I couldn't believe that. Yeah. And McDuffie unblocked. Jones must have been some sort of error. It's crazy to me how, they should have ran the ball more, but how that offensive line just got dominated in the Super Bowl.
Well, it's just scheming, right? You know Spats is going to blitz. They blitz Lamar Jackson relentlessly every other play, and that's what they do. And the secret's out on the 49ers. If you blitz them, they force them and get them out of their timing by bumping the wide receivers. Like the Cleveland Browns earlier this season laid out the blueprint. We play sticky man coverage, and we're going to be physical, and we're going to disrupt the timing in the West Coast offense. And now what you're going to do? What's your counter? And Shanahan, these big games, just like the 2021 NFC Championship against the Rams, same thing. Eric Weddle played in the box. Literally, Kansas City had like 10 guys within 8 yards of the line of scrimmage. They're daring Brock Purdy to throw it deep and beat him with the vertical passing game. And it just feels like Shanahan's vertical passing game is so outdated. It really is. There's no threat of a deep shot, no threat of somebody taking the top off the defense. So, yes, there are guys wide open, but that's by design because they're blitzing everywhere. And nobody knows where to pick it up at. Mm-hmm. It's like they're not even prepared for it. And they don't even get me the overtime. I mean, just let's take the two-minute warning, Zach. And you're right, McDuffie's scot-free on the blitz, right? Bats the ball down. You got to kick the field goal. Mahomes has another shot. Why not look at that situation as a two-play sequence? Okay, I know Mahomes is on the sideline. There's 2 minutes left.
Run on third, then go for it.
Let's run the ball on third down. Yeah. Set up a fourth and short. Get a first down and ice the game. Same thing in overtime. That's got to be a two-play sequence. 34, run the ball, set up a fourth and short. But instead, you get two balls batted down to Chris Jones to disrupt the play in overtime. It's just bad scheming and bad execution. So, yes, the offensive line did break down. I just think it's bad scheming.
They lost this Super Bowl because of their offense. There's no other ways about it. The defense, when you hold Mahomes to one touchdown in regulation, it was set up because of the whole punt situation. You needed to distance yourself in the first half. They couldn't do it. And I know it's not just one moment, but it felt like yesterday that they scapegoated Steve Wilks, which is crazy because of how great his defense performed in the Super Bowl up until overtime. It's like Shanahan, he's pointing the finger at everybody else but himself. Oh, we could win big games. Oh, not getting the team prepared for overtime and not knowing the rules didn't impact it. And now Steve Wilks gets fired? Like, Shanahan has no accountability.
Well, we saw this coming midway through the season, Zach. So the Minnesota game happens, right? They lose to Cleveland 19-17, first loss of the year. Mind you, the defense gave up 68 points in the first 5 weeks of the season. Everybody was like, we're having a debate out here in the Bay Area. What unit is better, the offense or the defense? Because they were blowing everybody away. They lose to Cleveland 19-17, even though Shanahan's clock management in that game left something to be desired. 3 minutes left in that game. You throw three straight passes. 60 seconds, he laps off the clock. Cleveland gets a shot to kick a game with a field goal. It's Shanahan again, but Steve Wilks took the bullet for that one. Minnesota happened. And remember before the half where Jordan Addison caught that long touchdown because Steve Wilks ran a cover zero blitz. Minnesota goes up 16-7. Shanahan undressed Wilks in front of the entire media. Yeah, I didn't like the call. It was a terrible call. Well, Shanahan, you're the head coach. You got the headset. How about you call a timeout and blow it dead? Say, no zero blitz. So from that moment on, we knew Steve Wilks would be the scapegoat this year if anything went awry. And even that week after the Minnesota game, they played Cincinnati the next week, got torched. But nobody said anything about Brock Purdy throwing two interceptions in the fourth quarter of the Minnesota game or throwing two interceptions in the fourth quarter against Cincinnati. Actually, one was late in the third quarter. One was in the fourth quarter. Everybody blamed Steve Wilks. And Steve Wilks came out and said, I'm still learning the scheme. This is not my defense. I'm still learning the scheme. So we all knew in the Bay Area, now the national media is catching up to us, but we knew this is Shanahan's defense. He's the real defensive coordinator on this football team. He micromanages everything, including the defense. And so Steve Wilks is saying, I'm still learning the scheme midway through the year. It was like, wait, what? And by the way, wild. This is unprecedented, Zach. It's wild, right? He couldn't bring any of his assistants over. He basically came here, had to learn a new scheme, and do it with Shanahan's defensive assistants, not his own assistants.
Who's an offensive
run his
guy
own
too.
Defense.
It's just it's exactly wild.
It's just it's wild. So we knew Debo to get the scapegoat. Like you said, you hold Mahomes at 3 points on the first 9 possessions of the football game. You hold him to 19 points in regulation. That is good enough to win the game. We all know out here in the Bay Area, it's on Purdy, it's on Shanahan, it's on the offense, it's all on them. The defense played their butts off in that football game.
I got 90 seconds left. I made the case earlier. We know Shanahan and Belichick are close. He's trying to get Belichick to be the DC. I think Belichick will think that's beneath him, and he won't do it. I saw Florio started to speculate Brandon Staley as their next DC. And the moment I heard that, I'm like, yep, that's probably who it's going to be. Who do you think will be the next DC?
I mean, Brandon Staley's a good name. I think they may go in-house. They got this guy Holland or Bullock or whatever. I don't even know. He's a DB coach. I kind of want a scheme change, a 3-4 guy and some exotic blitzes because the wide nine has been figured out. Our defense looks so predictable. But with that said, they were third or fourth in the league in opponents' points per game. So I don't think the defense – think about it. Travarius Ware was an all-pro. Diamondo Lenore is a player. We know Jair Brown, the rookie out of Penn State. We got a player there. Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner had career years. The defensive line didn't show up. And that starts with Nick Bosa. And I think Nick Bosa quietly went behind the backs of Steve Wilks. It's like, the defense, I'm not really feeling it. We weren't ready for the RPOs or the zone read that Mahomes ran in overtime late in the fourth quarter. Bosa, I don't want to hear it from you. You got $120 million guaranteed. You're playing conditioning. You're playing scheme. Yet I saw you off the field on the final possession of regulation with your hands on your hips. How do you take yourself out of the game in the Super Bowl? So yeah. I don't know who's going to be the DC, but be careful if you want to be the DC under Kyle Shanahan, because if anything goes wrong, you will be out of here and you will be scapegoated, no doubt.
Bonta Hill, always appreciate the time. Does a sensational job. Morning Drive and 95.7 The Game. Make sure you send my condolences to your co-host, Joe Shasky, because I know he wears his emotions on the sleeve. And also, check it on my guy, Debo Samuel. Make sure Debo's doing okay for me, all right?
Oh, hey, you know what? Shasky and I are both hurting. We're walking out of that stadium, Zach. Was one of the more depressing walks.
But you're tougher. You're tougher than Joe.
I maybe a little bit, but I'm not going to lie. Every time I think about the Super Bowl, I get angry and angry as days go by. And Debo Samuel, 11 targets, 3 catches, just not good enough, man. Just not good enough.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Bonta, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Zach. Take care, buddy.
A Peanut Butter M&M's production.
In a world where Super Bowl winners get the world's admiration and a fancy ring, but the runners-up get nothing. One retired cop returns.
That's one retired quarterback. Read the script.
Oh, sorry. One retired quarterback returns to claim what's his.
That's claim a ring with diamonds made from M&M's peanut butter. But you're on a roll.
The Ring of Comfort. Coming soon to a Super Bowl near you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. 2024 Santa Fe, available early 2024.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, just bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.